Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome to Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And I'm so excited to be able to come into your homes on tonight, praise God. I'm getting used to this new system, praise God. God has blessed me to be able to have access to the board by myself. And so, praise God, I've been so used to being just a little swimmer in the pond, but now I got to be out and fish and get the fish and all. Oh, amen. And so, amen. So you pray for me, and I'll pray for you, and praise God, we'll do this together. And so praise God, we got it together, and so we have an awesome, awesome, awesome word for tonight. I want to make sure that I acknowledge all of you that are first-time listeners. If this is your first time to Empower to Change Blog Talk Radio, I am grateful, grateful, grateful that you decided to tune in on this wonderful hour. Like I said, we strive to encourage, we strive to give you topics that will give you insight and correction and instruction and reproof and all the things that are necessary for us to be equipped to do the things that God has called us to do. And then praise God, once you get it really focused and take root in your life, that you just don't keep it for yourself, but that you share it with others so you'll be empowered to do what God has called you to do. And so, praise God, I thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in. For those of you that have been with me, praise God, for the past 7 years, going on to 8, I'm so grateful, grateful, grateful that God has blessed you to be able to help me and support me and to promote me and continue to keep me encouraged so that I will study the topics that God places on my heart to share to help all of us grow in the things of God. And so I just thank you, thank you, thank you. I always, always, always got to give a big shout out to the Omega Ministry Group, because praise God, without them, and I say this every week, but I mean it from the bottom of my heart, I did not know this was my platform. And so praise God, they said, yes, ma'am, it is. And they put me out here and told me to sink or swim. And praise God, they knew I could swim. And so I had confidence in them that they had confidence in me. And praise God, God manifested. And 8 years later, here we go. And so, praise God, I'm always grateful to Jesse and Tammy Storr. So thank you, thank you, thank you for your faithfulness and your commitment to God to promote all of us. Now, our greatest and biggest praise has to go to our Father. He's my Father. He's your Father. Whether you know it or not, He is our Father. And so we always want to make sure that we give Him the praise that He so richly deserves. We can't even give it to Him what He needs, praise God, because He really doesn't need us. But He does want us to glorify Him and praise Him. And so we always want to make sure that we acknowledge Him before we do anything. And so I always try to start the broadcast off with a upbeat tempo song so that we can have our mindset to be in the right posture before we go to Him in our lesson and learning. I acknowledge you for joining in. And praise God, then we start with our lesson. We start with prayer and then our lesson. So let's go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You thanking You for Your wonderful blessings. Father, we do not take it lightly, that praise we have life and that we have it in abundance. We might not have it the way that we desire, what we want, but we have it. And so, Father, every day that we live, we have an opportunity to love on You and You to love on us. And then for us to love on others as You have so instructed. So we thank You, Father, for the use of our limbs and being in our right minds, allowing us to be disciplined and allowing us to be faithful to You. We thank You, Father, for allowing us to be able to have an opportunity to study Your word and allow it to manifest in our hearts and our minds. We thank You, Father, that it is the roadmap, it is the guide, it is everything we could possibly need in order to be successful on this planet. We thank You, Father, that You didn't stop with just the word. You gave us the Holy Spirit, and You allow the Holy Spirit to rule and reign in our lives so that we can be closer to You, that we can feel Your presence, that we can operate effectively, and that we can do the things that You called us to do with ease, because the Holy Spirit will help minister us and keep us focused and keep us alert. And so, Father, we just thank You, thank You, thank You that although we have Your word, although that we have the Holy Spirit, but if it wasn't for the blood and it wasn't for the sacrifice that Jesus made, Father God, this wouldn't even be possible. And so, Father, we want to always, always, always thank You, thank You, thank You for all that You've done, that You did this long before we were even thought of in our mother and father's womb, that You took the time to navigate our lives so that we can have the right narrative, that we can do the things that You called us all to do, and that is to share Your glory. And so, Father, we ask now that You open our eyes and open our hearts to receive a word, that we'll be quick to grasp the word, and that we won't just be hearers, but we'll be doers, and that we'll remember that You are the vine and that we're just branches. And as long as we stay connected to You, we will bear the fruit that will remain, because without You, we could do absolutely nothing. So I thank You, Father, for all the people that You created on this planet to be examples and to be counselors even and mentors, Father, so that we can navigate this proper life, that we can be about Your business and do the things that You called us to do, and that is them. A plan to prosper. And so we love You, we honor, we adore You. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killingsworth, Empowered to Change Block Talk Radio, where we encourage, where we educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And so it's been an amazing, amazing first couple of weeks of January. So many things going on in our world, so many things for us to focus on. Nevertheless, you know, the first of the year always starts with New Year's resolutions and what I'm going to do and what I'm not going to do and all these interesting things. And sometimes we keep them and sometimes we don't. But nevertheless, it's an opportunity for us to talk about it. And so I wanted to start today because today, of course, is the day that we honor our one of our fallen soldiers, Dr. Martin Luther King. And so I wanted to make sure, I know most of us know a lot about him, but I was interested in how God incorporated him in our lesson for today. Now, maybe it was last week, I was able to teach a noonday Bible study, and one of the questions came up about holidays. And so, you know, most of the time when we talk about holidays, we often think about Christmas, you know, the main ones. But I like the fact that a holiday was established for Martin Luther King. I like the fact that we have other days on the calendar that we recognize different people, different cultures, different traditions. And it is necessary just as much as it is for the holidays because it gives us a platform. Those of us that know Christ and that want to make him known, we have an opportunity when the world stops and pays attention because it's on every calendar, it's on every planner, or wherever it may be listed, it is an opportunity for you to take advantage. And I think as those of us that are Christians, that even though the pandemic, the COVID-19, or whatever the new strand be, what is it, 11, 117, whatever, the things that are going on in the planet, we have to take advantage of the opportunities that God prepares for us, because if we're Christians, like we claim to be, and we're reading the word and we're following the Holy Spirit, God is always moving and he's always talking. And so if we're not paying attention, this is how things get past us, because we don't know how to really understand the ways that God has designed for all of us to operate in this system. And so if we're paying attention, we will take notice that when things go around in our world, opportunity for us to look up and ask God, what meanest thou this for me? And how does this relate to me? And so, you know, many of us being, like I said, with the pandemic, it's caused all of us to readjust our thinking, to reexamine how we see things. Yes, it's the beginning of the year and we start New Year's resolutions. And many of the things that we used to do, going to the gym and we can't do those things as readily as we would like because of the situation that we're in. So what is God saying? Is he saying that he doesn't want you to exercise and don't want you to lose weight? Not at all. Is he telling you that now we have to be a little bit more creative in our approach to different things? Absolutely. And so my challenge for you tonight is to help you change your narrative on the things that you see yourself in the things of God. Now, many times when we talk about change your narrative, and we go to the little drawing board, we get our planners out, and we want to change things. But I want you to make sure that you always remember you can't lean to your own understanding. You have to verify whatever changes you want to make in life with God. Whatever things you want to enhance, you have to go to God. Any things you want to decrease in your life, you got to go to God. Why? Because he knows the plan he has for you. And that's why Jeremiah 29 and 11 is so important. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. It didn't say declares Timothy or Paul or David or Jeremiah or Isaiah. It says declares the Lord. And so if the Lord, and we know that he is the creator of all things, that he manifests all things, that he knows all things, then why wouldn't we listen to the plan that he has for us? And what is that plan? That plan is for us to prosper, and that plan is not to harm us, but a plan to give us hope and a future. And so what does that mean? And do we really take that seriously when we read that? I don't think we do, because we're so busy trying to make sure that our narrative is the way that we want it. But nevertheless, God has a plan. And if your plan lines up with his plan, then praise God, you do have a narrative that you can share and be prospering in. And so one of the things that, like I said, because it's Martin Luther King's birthday, I wanted to make sure that we spoke a little bit about him, because I think that it's very important that we distribution that people have made, because God placed certain people on the planet because, again, he knew the plan he had for not necessarily Martin, but for Michael, because Michael was his original name that he was given at birth. But praise God, he changed it to Martin. But nevertheless, God knew the plan for him, and he declared for him to prosper and declared for him not to be completely harmed. He was harmed depending on how you look at it. But it wasn't because it was necessary, because the plan that he walked through and the life that he lived, it gave not only him hope, it gave us all hope, and it gave us all a future. And so when we represent Christ and we do it correctly, we don't necessarily mean that we're going to be, you know, put on billboards and put in history books, but your life matters, and how you fit into the scheme of life matters. And so if you're not lining up and doing the things that God has called you to do, then somebody is going to miss out because you're not where you're supposed to be. That line is not going to connect the way it should have connected. God may have to change and use somebody else, but wouldn't it be something to go before God at the end and he say, you fulfilled everything that I had planned for you. You received everything that I had planned for you. You didn't allow the world and the cares of the world to interfere and allow you to miss out on this. Or you could have had this, but you went down this road because this is the path you chose. We want to make sure that we don't lean to our understanding, that we allow God to order our steps. So back to Martin Luther King, it is so interesting when you really get a better understanding of his story. Most of us know that, you know, he was a minister and that he made contributions to the civil rights movement in the 60s, and that he wrote the famous speech, I Have a Dream, that was delivered in 1963. And then because of that dream, because of the motivation and, I believe, anointing on that particular message, it helped to change the direction and the path of the world. Because it gave an opening to segregation and racism to a different level. I mean, praise God, they knew what was going on, and they were enjoying to some degree, some people were, how the lifestyle was going. But for many of us, we struggle. And so God raised up someone to speak on the behalf of not just African Americans. And I kind of twins when I hear people say, oh, he was a good person for your people. No, he was a good person for us all, because we have to acknowledge the assignment that God gives us all. They're not necessarily purpose for one particular part of the people. God loves us all. And if you really, really just go above color and shapes and sizes, we are God's people, and we're all made in his image. So we're all his people. We've made these divisions. We've made these different distinctions between each other. But God sends his people to the world, and you either listen or you don't. So you got to find out what is your assignment so that your narrative will be correctly presented in the system. And so when we go back to Martin Luther King, we all know that he was born in Atlanta, and then he died in Memphis, praise God, that he was a Baptist minister, and then he was a social activist, and that he was assassinated in 1968 in Memphis. But one of the things that I would like to really highlight about Martin Luther King is that his life. Now, for most of us, we pretty much probably can assume that he had to have some type of educational background, because he was super, super, super intelligent. And it wasn't because of his family background, if you will. And that's one of the things when we're talking about our narratives, is that we can't always believe that our upbringing is part of our destiny, or is the full narrative of our story, because it doesn't have to be. We can come from broken homes and still be amazing. We can come from great homes and still be horrible. And so it is the plan that God has for you, and sometimes we have to go through certain things in order for us to see different things. But it's not necessarily means that because you come from a well-dressed family or a well-to-do family that you're going to do well. And so it's very, very key that we allow ourselves to believe, if I trust God and I do the things that God has called for me to do, I will prosper. Because again, Jeremiah 29 says He gave us a plan to prosper, not to harm us in a way that we're looking at, but he wants to give us hope and a great future. And so although Dr. King did come from a comfortable middle-class family, both of his father and his grandfather were Baptist preachers, so he kind of grew in that environment where education was probably key. And so he did follow his his family's sentiments, and he did go to school, and praise God, he did do very well in school. And so because he came from a prosperous neighborhood, he got to see different things. When we're talking about our own narratives, you can go back down memory lane, and you can see how different things that you were exposed to kind of help narrate your steps and your decisions and the things that you chose to do and the things that you may not have done well and the things that you may have done exceedingly well. But nevertheless, sometimes the way that we grow up and the environments that we're in, we get to see different things. And so because our brother Martin was able to see prosperous, educated black business owners and churches, he got to see a side that many of people at that time didn't get to see. And so the cool thing about that, he had that in his mental Rolodex, if you will. So when he did go to school, he started at Morehouse. But then after he finished Morehouse, he wanted to go into law, but he decided to follow into his parents, his father and his grandfather's footsteps, and he did go on to seminary school. And seminary school took him to Connecticut. And so when he got to Connecticut, it was a different environment. And remember, he came from an environment where the African-American community or black community was prosperous and thriving, but it was secluded to their own neighborhood. When he went to Connecticut, he saw differently. He saw that whites and blacks were working together and they were doing things totally different than how they were doing it in the South. And so when he saw that, he thought, oh, wow, this is something totally different. This is something that I would like to change. Now, I do need to go back a few steps because I want to make sure that I get this in your knowing about what happened to him. Like I said, he came from a prosperous neighborhood. But what many people don't know is that Martin Luther King attempted to kill himself by jumping out of a second-story window. Didn't know that part of the storyline, because all I've ever known was how prosperous he was, how educated he was, but how his grandmother passing away, and that he had a white playmate that was in a neighborhood, and the parents told them that they couldn't play with him anymore because of who he was. And all of that happened together made him to the point where he just didn't quite understand. Now, I wanted to make sure that I threw that part in, because when we fast forward to how his life kind of evolved from different things that happened, like I said, you can come from a well-to-do family and certain events in your life can help that can cause you to stumble or cause you to see things differently. And it's not necessarily when we say the scripture when Jeremiah 29 says that it's not to harm you. You could say he was hurt a little bit, but it wasn't to harm him in a perspective of where we say he wanted to commit suicide. But because of the experiences that he had, it allowed him, when he got to a certain point of his life, it gave him hope and allowed him to seek for a future. So fast forward, his grandmother died when he was 12. So my daughter is 12 now, and I can't imagine that she at 12 wanting to commit suicide, praise God. But 3 years later, he graduates high school because he's so, I'll just say he was a good student, praise God. And so he entered into college because of a special program. And so when he finished school, of course, he went on to go back to Connecticut where we kind of stopped. But so now he has his education. Now he has all this experience of knowing that I see how my people were living in the community I grew up. And now I see this new community. Now I need to make some necessary changes. He's going to seminary school, so I'm sure he's learning things about the Lord, learning about, God said that he loves us all. Why is there so much of a disparity? And so, of course, he meets his, I tell people I went to school, when I graduated, I got my my BA and I got my MRS. So I got my degree, and then I got a title because I found my husband. And so he found his MRS as well at the at his school when he went to Connecticut, but nevertheless, or Pennsylvania, I'm sorry. Nevertheless, he became really familiar with a different type of study. And so when he got his doctorate degree, he studied a philosophy for nonviolence from Paul Tittle. I believe that's how you say his name. But nevertheless, Paul was a German philosopher. And so when he wrote his paper or his dissertation, it was all encompassed on all the things that he had experienced. And so when we're talking about when we narrate our lives, we have to go back and think about all the things that we've encountered, all the people that have spoken into us, all the situations that we've experienced, all the directions that God has led us in and taken us away from. All those things matter. And so as I even think about my past, and as I think about how God navigated my life and to help me with my narrative, that it's kind of similar in the respect of, I mean, for all of us for that matter, if you go back and you think about, if I hadn't experienced this, I wouldn't have done this. And if I didn't see this person or know this person or this person didn't speak it to me, then I wouldn't have been able to go this direction, or this one prevented me from going down the wrong path. Whatever your situation is, it was done by God's design. And so one of the people that he studied for his dissertation, this Paul, he was most familiar with his strong beliefs because he had a different philosophy than most Christians had at the time. And so some of the things that he was most known for was his first duty was to love. His first duty of love was to listen. And so I believe that that helped Brother Martin get to a position where he listened. And so, again, him being a scholarly student of the word, he also know what God commanded, that he's better to hear than to speak. And so it probably sparked his attention to listen to more of this philosophy. And another quote that this German philosopher used is, doubt is not the opposite of faith, it is an element of faith. And so I was questioned by that because I've learned, too, that doubt is the opposite of faith. But it is a component of faith, because if you don't doubt, you never know that you've been doubting. And so you have to build your faith in an area that you know that you don't have faith in. So it is an element, although we don't want to doubt, because doubt is not believing. And so, but sometimes, remember, I found a program the other day for my girlfriend, her husband, he was ministering, and he said sometimes kids have to go down the wrong path to find the path. And so sometimes we have to not believe something, actually learn how to believe. And so I could see why R. Martin was intrigued by this philosopher. And then the last thing that he said that I thought that it was amazing to ponder was language. It is a word that is created from the language that, let's get it together. Language creates our words, and loneliness is an expression of pain of being alone. And then from that word, solitude comes, and that can be expressed of the glory of being alone. And so his different approach to words and philosophy gave Martin, I guess, the peace that he had, that he was able to lead not just his church members, not just a group of people in the city, not just a couple of people around the state, but he was able to have a movement because he understood it is better to listen. It is better to understand that there's different elements of our faith. There are different elements of our doubt. And then he learned to understand the different magnitudes of how we process words. And so although I can experience, and I know many of those of us that are on the line that are ministers, being alone, amen, it is hard when you're in ministry because there's not many things that you can say or express that you don't want to divert or to cause someone to believe or see things differently. So you have to keep a lot of things to yourself. So it can be a lonely place. However, being in that lonely place, it is solitude because you are having oneness to God. You are in a complete direct line that you hear from him and that you can speak clearly on what he's trying to say because you have been alone and you spent time with him. So I believe the walk that Martin had was all formulated. His narrative was not necessarily because he went to school and because he led the people. It was all the steps that took place to get him to the place of where he was, so that when it was time for him to be puzzled, his puzzle piece was placed on the part of God's big scheme. He was able to do what God had called him to do. And so when we talk about our narratives, what we are contributing, what will be our legacy, what will be our narrative as we approach life. It has nothing to do with how many times you go to the gym. It has nothing to do with how many times you've been to Disney World. Those are all great things, but it's the things that we do that is according to God's plan and his purpose. Yesterday, I was able to minister to a youth at my whole home church, Greater Friendship, Missionary Baptist Church. Shout out to those people there. Praise God. But we talked about how God, when you look at the things of God, it's like a big puzzle, and we're part of his puzzle pieces, and he places us where we need to be to make sure that the plans that he has for all of us can prosper, give people hope, give people a future. He uses us to make sure that that is established in the earth. But if your puzzle piece is not placed in the right place, then what is your narrative? Your narrative will not be according to the plan that God has for you. So you have to make sure that you're making some right assessments on who you are and who you belong to and why it is necessary for you to be about the plan that God calls for you. So when we talk about the word narrative, I like defining words. And so when we look at the word narrative, narrative basically means a spoken or a written account of connected events, a story. And so that's the noun. So that's the person, place, or thing. So this is the thing we're talking about, the narrative, a spoken or written account of connected events, basically our lives. It could be anything, but in today, what we're talking about on tonight is basically our story. And then the adjective direct definition for this word is the form or the concern with narration. And so when we talk about a narrative, and we're talking about our written account or our spoken account of how we live and our written form, our concern on how we're living our life. I like the way that one definition says that a narrative is an account, it's a recital, it's history. They're all terms for a story or an event. A narrative is a general term for either a long or short, past or present or future, factual or imaginary, for any purpose with or without much detail. And so when we're talking about a narrative of our lives, and it's interesting how even in the context that I just gave Martin Luther King's story, and I know some of you learned this when we were in school, that there's different types of narration. There's the first person, the second person, and the third person, and each one serves its purpose. So now, of course, if Martin was telling his own story, of course, that he would be doing that in the first person. But because we're given an account, we're doing this depending on how you perform it. You could do it in the second or the third because he's not here. But nevertheless, when you talk about your own story and you put your story together about the narrative of your story or the narration of your story, you want to make sure that it is something that is engaging and something that can be prosperous to someone else, because that's why God put us here. He gave us experiences and situations so that we can help others. Again, if we go back to Jeremiah 29:11, the plan I have for you, declares the Lord, the plan is to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future, is not necessarily just for you. We are here for other people. And so if you're not doing your part, then praise God, you need to assess what is your narrative. And if your narrative is not lining up with the things of God, then it's time for you to change your narrative. And so how do you change your narrative if you believe it's not lining up with the things of God? Well, one of the things that I love, and you know I love research, is to find out how do you structure a narrative. Well, first and foremost, you have to have a dialogue. You have to ask yourself certain questions. You have to describe separate settings. And so when you're telling your story or telling your testimony, you have to be able to explain it, to be engaged, that they can have the visuals in their mind. You know, I love visuals. And so when you do that, it keeps people engaged. And then you give them background information that's interesting to them. And then it introduces you not only to the reader in a surprising way, but sometimes you can surprise yourself. And so, of course, most of us have a story, and all of us have come to some point in life where we have to do reflection. And how do we move forward if we don't know where we've come from? And so oftentimes I like to write things down about how God is doing things in my life, things that I need to change, things that I want to do better, and things that I need to do better. And so many times, well, I should say, when I started out, I didn't like writing. I didn't really like reading either for that matter, because it just took too much time. Just tell me what I need to do and I'll do it, because I can perfect it, because I can see it, because I'm a visual person. So if you show me the bike, I can figure out that the wheel goes here, the other wheel goes here, and there has to be some screws to go in, and I can figure it out. Me wanting to sit down and read the pamphlet that goes with it, whew, that's not my thing. And so sometimes I get frustrated when I have to do it, but sometimes it's necessary. And sometimes because we want to skip all these steps, that's where we mess up, and we have the wrong narrative. And so we have to go back to the directions. And what is the direction? The directions is the Word of God. And so we have to read and we have to study his words in order for us to really make the right changes in life. And so when we talk about change, what is a change? A change is something that replaces something else, especially something that is new, better, or a substitute of something that we're doing. And so if we're not, if you put down your narrative on paper and you don't like the way that it's going, there are going to be some necessary changes that you're going to have to make. And so I recommend, of course, going to the Word, because you want to make sure that you don't lean to your own understanding. And first and foremost, I think that sometimes we can get so caught up writing our narratives, or we're trying to figure out the things that we've accomplished and where we've come from. We can get caught up looking too far in the past. And the Word says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. And so we can't get caught up on our past. Just like when I talked about Martin Luther King. And so he had a great upbringing for the most part, but he was still segregated. He didn't like that. And then his grandmother died. He didn't like that. And then he was separated from his friends. He didn't like that. And so he knew he wanted to do something different. If he had leaned to his own understanding, he probably would have killed himself because he jumped out of a window. But praise God, he had a plan for him, just as he has a plan for all of us. All of us may not have come from great backgrounds. All of us may have come, or some of us may have come from dysfunctional situations. But when we gave our life to Christ, we became a new creation. And so we have to remember that even though mama hurt me, daddy hurt me, my cousins hurt me, my brother, my sister, whatever that may have been, when you give your life to Christ, and some of us, we have to renew our lives to Christ in order for us to really understand that we are a new creation. And those things in the past are the past. If you believe that you didn't think that you was this way or that way, again, if you have to renew your commitment to Christ, renew it so that those things that you realize are in the past are in the past. Now, sometimes for some, it may be difficult to, you know, to just let it go. But again, the Bible says in John 15:7, that if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be granted. And so you ask God, Lord, I don't want to always be reminded that I was hurt so much as a child. You said that when you come into my life that you would make me a new person. And because I'm a new person, the things in the past are gone. Take that away from me. And then praise God, whenever those bad thoughts come, you just cast them down and replace them with new things, with new thoughts. And then God will take you to newer heights. But when we're talking about our narrative, we want to make sure that we're reminded of a couple other things. I love the fact that when we talk about God having a plan, that 2 Peter 2:29 says that Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some of us understand slowness. Okay, so he has a plan and you don't feel like you're prospering right now. As long as you breathe and praise God, you're prospering. As long as you got a place to stay, you're prospering. As long as you are not begging for food, amen, you're prospering. And so sometimes God allows us to go through certain things so that we can learn to be in different places, so that when we get to our hope and we get to our future, praise God, we'll see the difference. And so it may not move as fast as we want. And so like the scripture says, he's not slow in keeping his promise, because he is not a respecter of persons. What he does for one, he'll do for us all. But we got to make sure that we're in the right places and in the right stance, so that when it is time for our puzzle piece to be laid on the map, praise God, will fit correctly. And so it says, the rest of the scripture says, instead, he is patient with you and not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And so it's so important, again, that we don't lean to our own understanding, because, again, when we're trying to create this narrative, and I have a couple friends that have written out what they want in life, and they're going in those steps and in those orders because that's what they want. But God is going to interrupt that because it may not be his plan for you. And so when it's not his plan for you, then things are gonna seem slow. Things are gonna seem like they're not moving as fast as they would because you're not on the proper path. Your puzzle pieces, you shaved off some sides because you want to be a corner, and God ain't called you to be a corner. He caused you to be a jagged edge so you could fit and connect to something. And so we have to be mindful that God is not slow about anything. According to Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says there's a time for everything, season for every activity under the heaven. And so we have to make sure that we're lining ourselves up, not necessarily because it's a New Year's resolution. We're lining ourselves up so that we can do the things that God has called for us to do so that we can be part of the plan that he's designed. Now, it's interesting that, like I was saying before, I don't like to write. I don't like to read. Well, I used to. And so it took a while. And when I went to seminary school and had to write all those papers because I did it online. And so it took me a minute to really get it, how I could write a 30-page paper on one topic. And it bothered me because I thought, how in the world can you do that? And so it was, why is that necessary? But it was to develop my thought process. It was to develop me learning how to research. It was to develop me to be able to be firmly and convicted in whatever it is that I was trying to pursue or to explain in the paper. And so now it is ease for me. And so when God gives me something to write, it comes with ease. And so God trained me. So at the time, what was it, 6 years ago, I didn't quite understand why God had me writing all these papers, and it was often, and I hated it. But now I can appreciate it because in the time that I thought God was being slow, he was actually lining me up for my heart to prosper, because now I can write. Now I can see the narrative that God has for me. I can see that it may take time to develop my weight, amen. So, but I want it to be fast. But praise God, it wasn't a fast process for me to put it on. So it's not going to be a fast process for me to get out. Although I can pray and believe that it'll come out faster than it came on, amen. But I understand the process of time. I understand that God's timing is his timing. I understand that I have to be in line with the things that he said, that I have to make sure that my narrative lines up with his narrative so that things will line up. Many times we plan stuff, but it is not the right time because God has not allowed that time to line up. So use him in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And so, praise God, I said all that to say, I wrote this letter, and so I was looking for my notes for tonight and couldn't find them. And so my daughter taught me this cool little trick that you could just go to the search bar and you just type in a word. And then whatever you have is, whether it's emails, text messages, whatever, everything will come up on your phone because, unfortunately, these phones are, they're way too much for me. But anyway, all these things that I had wrote narrative in, all these things came up. And so I thought, Lord, you are so amazing, because the thing that I was looking for, I didn't find. But the thing that he wanted me to find, I did find. And so I'm going to read this to you. And so I'm going to ask you at the end, after when I finish, what you got for him, for you to ponder on it. But anyway, it says, life is what you make it, some say. The very phrase has caused so many people to strive and pursue a false narrative of what they think life should look like. How do I know this to be true? Well, in the beginning, I sought after this mantle. I was so grateful to be blessed to share and encouraging words to and for you. And I thought long and hard how to write about what I needed to write about to help you be encouraged without being boring. When people ask questions like, if you could change something in your life, what would it be? And if you could actually, and if it could actually happen, what do you think you would change? And so I don't think that I would change anything dealing with material things, cars, money, and house. I think if I could change anything, it would be life's lesson, information that would ultimately help me prosper. I would love to have known this statement is not necessarily true. Life is what you make it. This very phrase caused me to strive and pursue false narratives of life. I'm about to tell my age, but in 1985, I started this fast-track plan to be a phenomenal businesswoman that I was going to be featured in Jet Magazine. At the time, being featured in this magazine meant that you had arrived or at least by the world standards, had an exceptional life. My young pursuit to make life, to make myself and my life more famous, frustrated me and made me extremely depressed. I could not realistically live up to those standards to be recognized or make the kind of worthy money or be promoted at the top of any Fortune 500 company. My pursuit was a false narrative that I could not have achieved even if I was actually featured in this magazine that doesn't even exist anymore. My drive was wrong, my focus was wrong, and I made life so much about me, I miss living life. Why such a long story? Well, it's my attempt to share with you the phrase, life is what you make it, cannot be a motivating force to drive you to be successful in life. It is my prayer that you realize your pursuit in life must be a pursuit through the eyes and mind of Christ. It is the Creator, and to know the prosperous life that you have created or will create is from Him. He knew your path. He knew who your parents would be, how many children you would have, the names of their children, as well as the generations of children that would be birthed through your children. God knows all, and if He knows all, then we should seek His wisdom and instruction to confirm that we are on the right path of life. Following your God-given design is the best path to succeed. What will success look like? Already started through your children. Cherish and value your children and their accomplishments, the small ones as well as the big ones. Make sure that you know the main source of God and pursue their lives based on the path that He's laid out for them, and allow them to know God for themselves now, and that their future will be showered with blessings from God. I have enclosed a confession sheet that I have given my children to confess daily, and when I see behaviors contrary to the confessions, I challenge them and remind them why it's important to be obedient. You may want to add your own confessions or modify them based on the levels of understanding. I know I have confessed them as well and added them to my own list. They have helped us to stay focused and true to the path of the life God has for us, and I pray that they will bring you as much joy as they have given me and my children. May God richly bless you and keep you and your children in His righteous hands. May each of you know God's success and pursue the path that He's already established for you each day. Now, that was a long letter, and I thought, oh, wow, that's cool. Where did that come from? Had no clue I wrote that. And I sent that to a friend of mine, and I don't know what she was going through, but that was 2 years ago that I sent it to her. And I thought, wow, Lord, for me, I thought, you know, I don't know how to write. I mean, I believe I can write, but, you know, it cannot be inspiring. You know, we have our own doubts, and that's why it was so important to me when I read that philosophy from Martin Luther King, his mentor, is that doubting is part of the element of faith. And so I had to read that I wrote to somebody else. I was being encouraged when I was reading it and didn't even know I had wrote it the first time I read it, or just a moment ago when I read it. I didn't realize that I wrote that, but I didn't write it. The Holy Spirit blessed me to write that, and that I was able to use some of my narration of what the things that I experienced to help encourage her. So why was that necessary? It's necessary because all of us go through things in life. All of us. All of us have things that we've experienced, whether they've been good things, bad things, whether they've been things that hurt us. They didn't harm us, but they may have hurt us. But all of those things line up to making sure that we follow the purpose and the plan that God has for us, and then for us to share it with someone else so they can prosper. So what is your narrative? Are you making the right confession daily to make sure that you stay focused, so that when somebody does tell your story, when they give your narration of who you are, what will they say? Will they say that you were a woman or a man of God that followed the things of God? Or did they say you was just, you know, aimlessly seeking life and just trying to figure it out and was always frustrated? Would they say that, you know, you spent time in the Word, you confessed Word, they saw you praying, they saw you helping and giving and doing the things that God called you to do? Or did they say, as my uncle used to tell me all the time, he said, baby, be careful, don't become a busybody. Be busy for the Lord, but don't become a busybody. And I don't know if he remembers that, but he told me that, and that stuck with me because I was always doing stuff. And I had to be reminded, am I doing stuff? Because, of course, you know, I wanted to be in Jet Magazine. Amen. And so I was doing a lot of stuff because I was on this board and doing this and doing that and doing this and doing that. And he was like, baby, be careful. You don't want to become a busybody, but you want to be busy for the Lord. And so when I took that to heart and I understood that, and, of course, I got busy in the church, and I may have been a busybody there too, but amen, because there's 13 ministries. Anyway, So, but you have to assess yourself. And if you don't take time to look at your narration, you will be on a path that God did not design for you. And so when God showed me, I had to scale back. And I often have to scale back because I'm a go. Because when God delivered me, be able to see, my sister told me yesterday, she said, I'm tired of hearing that story. I'm like, amen, you tired of hearing the story. But amen, your eyes went outside your sockets. Amen. But I tell that because it was a miracle. That was a miracle because they said that would never be possible and I would never see. And so when God opened up my vision and allowed me to see, and I can honestly say, I can show you the miracle God's done for me. I can show you why I wanted to be in 13 ministries. I can show you why I can be sick and not feel well and get out to bed and go feed those that are less fortunate, that I can drive around town delivering food to people. That's why. I know that God healed me. I know that God has a plan and a purpose for me and that I want this for him. So my narration, my narrative will be that she served the Lord and she served the Lord to her best ability. It may not have been my past, but it is my future because I'm doing what I need to do to pursue the things of God. And so my challenge to each of you is to sit down and think about what is God calling me really to do? Do I know my purpose? And am I fulfilling my purpose? And if you are fulfilling your purpose, then what you do comes at ease. And it doesn't matter if it takes 2 years, 3 years to come to pass because you know that God is lining you up to make you prosperous. And then because God's gifts are without repentance, amen, it doesn't matter if you're 90, hey, granny, doesn't matter if you're 70, 60, 10, 12, 40, it doesn't matter. Whatever God has planned for you is for you, and you will be able to fulfill whatever it is he called for you. Your narration will be right if you stick to him and don't lean to your own understanding, not focusing on the things you can't do, focus on the things you can do and thank God for those things that you can do and be about those things until he lines up and puts somebody in your path that will help you focus on moving to the next level. But we can get caught up looking at our world system about who we think we ought to be and how we ought to look and where we ought to be in life at this particular stage. No, ma'am, your guide is on the front of the cover, it says Holy Bible. At least that's what mine says. Or Holy Word. Whatever's on the cover of your Bible, that's what you should be believing. You should follow the standards of that. That should be the direction for your narration. And so I challenge each of you is to sit down and write it down. My grandmother asked me to do something. Well, her and my uncle asked me to do something. And I thought at the time, oh, yeah, I'll do that because, you know, I like putting stuff together because I think I'm a little creative. And so she asked me to do her obituary. My sister's kind of freaked out, of course. Cause it's like, well, how could you do that? And I'm so grateful that I did because there's no way I would have been able to put the time and the energy and the love on it if I had done it after she was gone because I would have had to have been processing, you know, my own grief. But this way I got to do it and I got to see her life and to appreciate her life and to appreciate that I was part of her legacy, part of her seed, and what I could do to continue whatever she started or the things that God blessed her to do to make those things come to pass, some of those things that she really wanted to do. And so it's so important. And then she got to see it. And I'm sure it made her appreciate, wow, I have done a lot. I have blessed I got quite a few children, quite a few grandchildren, quite a few great-grandchildren. We have to sometimes write down the things that we have accomplished to allow us to see the things that God has done for us to help us move forward and then to allow us to connect the dots to see God has been with me the whole time. He has instructed me. When I, like I said, was so busy trying to be in Jet Magazine and was frustrated because I couldn't get into that life, God said, no, I called you to be a teacher. I called you to be a minister. And I couldn't get caught up being the boss so that I could be on the cover of a magazine because Lord knows where I could have been. I'd have been in the wrong place and I would not be doing what God called me to do because I'd have been all about me. So God eliminated those obstacles for me and put me in the path where I needed to be because he needed me to line up for a time such as this. And I am grateful. And so I can do it with passion. I can do it with excitement because I know that I am following the path and the plan that God has for me. And I know that I will be prosperous. Does that mean I'm going to have all the cars I want and the big houses and all that kind of stuff? I don't care about that no more. That is not what I'm looking for. I want to make sure that I'm doing what God called me to do and to be effective in the lives of the people that God places me in. I want to be able to not that they just get information, but that they're able to take that information and have revelation and make changes. And so because of that, I have passion to do what God calls me to do. It makes me get up and read in the middle of the night when I'm sleeping. Now, there are times I'm like, Lord, really? I just want to go to bed, please. But when I know that that unction comes on me to get up, I have to get up. And when he tells me to stop and pray, I have to stop and pray. And when he tells me to call somebody, I have to call. And when he tells me to write a letter, I have to write a letter. And there's so many times, and those of you that really are under the anointing of the Holy One, when you start writing and you find yourself writing and you can see yourself writing and you're not really focused on what you're writing because your hands is moving, you know that God is moving. And whatever you're saying or whatever you're writing is an anointing for the person that you're sending that to, because you don't know, because not all of us share what we're going through. But your letter could be the encouragement to keep little Martin from jumping out the window. You don't know what your assignment are doing, but if you do and be the puzzle piece that God called and designed for you to be, praise God, you will line up and be where he's called you to be. Now, my grandma was teasing me the other day, and my auntie too today. She told me, she said, you know how to talk. And that I do, because, like I said, I'm excited about the plan that God has for me. And so I do have a few minutes. And so if I open the lines, I hadn't done that in a while. So if you called in, all you have to do is press 1, and I can see your number in the queue, and I can unmute your line so that you can share a comment or a question if you have one. And then, praise God, because I only have a couple of minutes, I'll take a couple questions or concerns if you have them. If not, praise God, you know I can keep talking because I love to talk and I love to talk about the things of God. And so, praise God, I want you to make sure that you tune in next week and we'll have another inspiring word. And then I wanted to make sure that I give a shout out in case my friend is listening. Her mother went to be with the Lord this week. And so I'm so happy that her mother knew the Lord and that God blessed her to have an opportunity to bring her here. And so she got to have really quality time with her mother. And like I said, when you write the narration of your life or the narrative of your life to see, you know, God will reveal to you if there's some things that you need to fix in your life, there's some people you need to apologize to, there's some people that you need to make situations right, you can get that together. But sometimes we get so busy with life that we don't take the time to stop. Write out your narrative. What do you want people to say about you? And if you don't never write it down and you don't really see, how will you ever know? And you can't take for granted just because you're 20 that you're going to make it to 100. The case. It may be that, praise God, God may call you home next week. And so if you have an opportunity, as long as you have breath in your body to get it right, saints. We want to make sure that we have the right narrative. And if you don't, then praise God, ask God to help you change it, because he will. Praise God. Well, again, this is Leah Killings with Empowered to Change Block Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And I always close the broadcast off with my granny's favorite song, Every Praise Belongs to God, because it really, really does. And so if you give him everything you have, I promise you he'll give you way more than you could possibly give him. But you got to do your confessions. You got to know that you are a child of God. You got to know that your spirit is alive to God and that you will be prosperous in all that you say and do because you yield to him. And then you got to remember to always, always, always start your day with prayer, pray throughout your day, and end your day with prayer. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Tune in next week. Be blessed.
Let me hear the worshipers. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
praise.
Every praise
is to our God.
To our God.
Y'all know how we do it. Take it up. Every praise,
every praise
is to our God.
To our God.
Every word of worship
is one accord.